Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
For this morning's message, Pastor Goin returns to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going on to chapter 5 as we consider the coming day of the Lord. Here's Pastor Goin.
I want to invite your attention this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're moving to the fifth chapter. We're in the final chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look this morning at the first 11 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And may God add His blessing to the reading of His word. Having grown up in the church my entire life, from earliest memory, I've lived with the understanding that one day at the end of life, whether that comes through death or through the return of Christ, that I will go to stand before God, the great judge, to give an account of my life. In fact, I still remember the day when our next door neighbor knocked on our door and wanted to speak to my mom. That's always scary when you're just a little fella. I was 4 years old at the time. Earlier that day, I'd been out with some neighbor kids, and we played church, and I was the preacher. And being the fire and brimstone preacher that I was at the ripe old age of 4, I warned the neighborhood kids about coming judgment. And I didn't preach a very long message. I think my message had one point, and it was to tell the neighborhood kids if they didn't come to know Jesus as their Savior, they'd go to hell when they died. And that raised some questions for the kids. And this mother at our front door was irate that my mom would have allowed her 4-year-old to be aware of such a negative concept as hell and the judgment. And now, thanks to me, her daughter has been exposed to this reality, and this woman is just beside herself. And after the woman left, my mother did not squelch my evangelistic zeal, But she did counsel her little 4-year-old evangelist to use a little more wisdom and tact in my evangelistic approach with the neighborhood kids. And yet, the reality of the coming judgment against sin and unrighteousness is one of the foundational elements of the Christian faith. We declare in the Apostles' Creed that we believe that Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe that? And Paul writes to these Thessalonian believers to speak to them of this coming judgment. He writes in verse 2 about the day of the Lord. He writes in verse 3 about sudden and inescapable destruction. He writes in verse 9 of God's wrath. And if you can think back as far as Easter Sunday, you remember that we looked at verses 13 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in that passage, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians about the resurrection of the dead. And he focuses on the blessing of that time for the people of God. But in our scripture reading this morning, Paul's emphasis changes. There's a transition, and he moves from describing the glories of the resurrection, the final resurrection, to matters surrounding the coming day of the Lord and judgment. That's what he is addressing here in these first 11 verses of chapter 5. If you have your Bible open, I want you to notice that phrase, the day of the Lord, in verse number 2, that's a very important phrase in this passage. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord. This is a term that appears in the King James Bible 20 times in the Old Testament, 5 times in the New Testament. It's described as a cloudy day, a great and very terrible day. A couple verses state that the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it. Malachi describes a great and dreadful day. Very, very concisely stated, the day of the Lord is the time of the decisive visitation of God. The time when He will intervene in this world. And on one hand, he will punish the wicked when he intervenes on the day of the Lord. This is a time of punishment. But on the other hand, the day of the Lord is a time when he will deliver and he will exalt his faithful followers, those who are loving him and serving him. The day of the Lord is the time when God will establish his rule. And so there is both judgment for the sinner and final salvation for the born again on the day of the Lord. For the sinner who's rejected Christ, that one who has lived and walked in disobedience, the day of the Lord is a time of judgment. It's a time when God will punish the wicked. In our text this morning, Paul writes in verse 3 about sudden and inescapable destruction for the people who walk in darkness. The day of the Lord will be a very bad day for those who are living in disobedience to Christ. It marks the beginning of the time that God will pour out His judgment and His wrath against the sinfulness and the rebellion of our world. And I say to you this morning, you don't want to be among the unbelievers. You don't want to be lost without God in your sin when the day of the Lord arrives, because when that day is ultimately, finally completed, God will pour out His eternal wrath on those who have lived for themselves and disobeyed His word and ignored His will. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul gives us some more details of what this looks like when God pours out his wrath. Verses 7 through 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he said, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." And the sinners will be finally, eternally separated from God in a literal place called hell. A place of tormenting fire and darkness with no hope of escape forever and ever and ever. And of course, the age-old question has been, why would a loving God send someone to such a horrible place? But I would remind us this morning that no one goes there without ignoring the grace of a loving, long-suffering God. No one will find themselves in that awful place without disregarding the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. No one will go there without squandering opportunities to make course correction, without barreling through roadblocks of grace in the road of your life. If you would be so unfortunate as to find yourself in that terrible place, you would be there by your own choice as a consequence of rejecting God. If you choose to walk in darkness, if you choose to embrace deception, to harbor rebellion, to live in disobedience to God, rather than walking in beautiful fellowship and intimacy with Him and living in the light and embracing the truth, God will let you have your own way. But ultimately, your own way leads to eternal destruction. The day of the Lord is a day of sudden, inescapable judgment. It's a day of God's wrath for the sinner. And in verse 2, Paul tells us this day will come as unexpectedly as a thief in the night. You know, the thing about thieves is that when they come unexpectedly. A thief doesn't announce that he's coming, does he? Several years ago, our home in peaceful Harker's Island was robbed while we were next door at church. And guess what? The thief didn't call in advance and say, hey, I'm going to be coming to your house about 6:30 in the evening on Sunday. I know you're going to be gone to church, and I'm going to take a few things that belong to you if you don't mind. Didn't get a phone call like that. No, it was a startling surprise when Jennifer just happened to step out the side door of the church. Jameson was a toddler, and she'd carried him outside. And she sees the thief coming out of the back door of our parsonage. She caught him red-handed. In fact, we knew the fella. And he was just surprised at being caught, as Jennifer was at catching him. It was an interesting night. Ask me later, I'll tell you the rest of the story. That thief came unexpectedly. And Paul says that's how suddenly the day of the Lord will come. It will be unannounced. And the timing, he says, will catch many people unaware and unprepared. Verses 3 and 7, Paul makes it clear. At that time, many people will be living with a false sense of peace and security. They'll be drunken with the pleasures of life. Paul says it's as if they're asleep in a drunken stupor. You know, a sleeping man isn't very concerned about what's happening around him, is he? He's not aware of danger. He's not aware of much of anything. He's at ease. He's relaxed. And I don't have to tell you this morning that there are many people in our world who are living with a false sense of peace and security. We are blessed to live in a very affluent culture. We don't lack many things. We have comfortable houses, plenty of food, cars to drive, and we have lots of toys, boats and RVs and guns and electronic gadgets and clothes and shoes, and some of you ladies have purses to match the shoes. We have it all. Don't we have it good? Amen? Are you awake? Don't we have it good? And our problems, our first world problems, like my phone charger cord is too short to sit in the recliner and charge my phone and talk at the same time. First world problems. Or I accidentally got crunchy peanut butter and I preferred creamy peanut butter. First world problems. We're so blessed we hardly know what to do with it all. And I like the blessings. I'll take the blessings. I like comfort. I'm not into pain. And yet there's always been something about having lots of creature comforts that makes us feel very secure and safe and protected. And when we're comfortable, those things have a way of kind of rocking a person to sleep and making them feel safe and independent and self-sufficient. And yet you could be flush with cash, financially flourishing, and yet spiritually speaking, be totally bankrupt without God. And in a very, very dangerous position in light of God's coming judgment against sin and unrighteousness. And so many people in our world today give no thought to the inevitable consequences of selfish, sinful living. They give no thought to the destiny of their soul after death. And Paul says that many are living in darkness, not alert to eternal realities. Their mental understanding of spiritual truth is darkened through ignorance, sometimes through willful ignorance. There is darkness in their hearts. They love the things of darkness. They belong to the kingdom of darkness. And in that darkness, they drunkenly sleep. And it's a dangerous place to be. Because Paul says that while these people are feeling this peace, this security, sudden and inescapable judgment and destruction will come upon them. But I want you to know this morning, you don't have to be among the people of the night who walk in darkness and are sleeping in a spiritually drunken stupor. You don't have to face God's wrath. Somebody ought to say amen right there. The fact is, there is a coming judgment. God is holy. God is just. He will not tolerate sin or disobedience or rebellion. The day of the Lord will come. He said it will come, and it will. But God is also merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I heard somebody say last year, and it stood out to me, God is not frantic to judge sinners. He's frantic to rescue them. Did you capture that? God is not frantic to judge sinners. He is frantic to rescue them. And if you doubt that, read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. What you'll find is that the story of the Bible is the story of a God who is deliberately seeking to be reconciled to fallen man. If you go down to verse number 9 of chapter 5, you'll read, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Jesus is coming again. There's a judgment day that's coming, but through Jesus and through the cross, there's a way to be ready for His coming. I want to declare the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ this morning and tell you, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. You can be lifted from the death of sin to new life in Jesus Christ. You can have hope of His return, and you can live in fellowship with Him. Eternal life, did you know eternal life begins right here on this earth? This is eternal life, that we may know Him. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus. John 17:3 tells us it starts here and it continues through the glad eternities.
He is more than a story, more than love is gentle, yet it's so strong. His grace everlasting just won't let you go. His unending mercy, a fountain
That was the Collingsworth family with the song, Do You Know the Savior? The message today was preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. Next week, we plan to air the second part as he further explores what 1 Thessalonians has to say about the coming day of the Lord. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we would be happy to talk with you. Please, contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship, and 6 o'clock p.m. for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. Next Sunday evening, we look forward to having a ladies' trio from Penview Bible Institute share in music ministry, and we'd be delighted for you to join us. That'll be Sunday, June 15th at 6 o'clock p.m. Also beginning on the 23rd of June, we begin Vacation Bible School, a time of ministry for the children of our congregation. We invite you to bring your child each evening from June 23rd to the 27th at 7 o'clock p.m. as we visit Wonder Junction with songs, games, stories, and scriptural teaching. I'm sure that your child will enjoy and benefit from this time.
Many miles behind me, too many trials are through, too many tears help me to remember I've got too much.
to gain, to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked. Treasures are waiting over yonder. I've got too much to gain, to lose. Now I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead I see cool living water, and defeat is just one word I don't use. Sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. I've got too much. Treasures are waiting over yonder. I've got too much to gain. I've got too much to gain, to lose.
My friend, we look forward to having you join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
Nearer, still nearer.